you going to do with that? Suppose you go to that heaven and all of a sudden it passes away. Where are you going? You're going to pass with it? Of course not. But he said, my word. And he wasn't talking about this. He talking about my word that's made flesh. I'm telling you folks, we're in for a real treat. I've come a long way, baby, but I just not got my foot inside of something that nobody ever told me anything about. It's been there all the time. And here come the spirit of truth. Thank God. And you see, his ministry wasn't to give me gifts. His mission was to guide me into all truth. Truth about what? You should know the truth. Truth about what? This? Of course not. You should know the truth. And that truth, say it out loud with me, is you free. Is you free. But the truth about what? What truth is going to set you free? That's what Pilate asked. What is truth? Somebody said, oh, that's that one. You see, this didn't even exist in that day. And I love this. But that wasn't the truth he's talking about. You shall know the truth about who you are. And until you know who you are, you won't ever know who Father is. I'm going to have fun, y'all. I got my preacher's clothes on this morning. Had y'all noticed? Sunday morning. God, you're religious. Let me give you this, and then he said, I've got 3 hours to preach, so I got to hurry. How many in your heart is ready to leave everything that has been? Careful now. That means laying on of hands. And I can say with the Apostle Paul, I speak with tongues more than you all. But I read one day where he said, tongues going to cease. What are you going to do with that? What tongue do you think of, what tongue you think he's talking about was going to cease? He said, prophecy is going to fail. If prophecy is going to fail, why continue doing it? I love gifts. But I'll tell you this, any kind of a gift that you have, give it your best, is still in that in part realm, and it'll never perfect nobody. Love me here. I didn't come in on just a turnip truck. I've been there. I know this. And see, these are some challenges that we're confronted with. Are we really serious about going on? And it's not just about going on to know him. It's about going on to know me. I like me. And that ain't bragging. That's just a fact. Now, I'll tell you this. Until you learn to love you, you can't love nothing. Hear me now. Love yourself. It would do some folks good to put a smile on their face, go to the mirror, and hug yourself and say, hey, dude, I love you. That do some of you more good than anything. Well, if you don't love you, how do you expect me to love you? See, I love me. That's why you love me. Well, you do, don't you? Leave. Go on. But here's the thing about it. You can't take anything with you. See, we perpetuated Pentecost, and all of the time you go back and read the second chapter, and it said the days of Pentecost were fully come. Well, hello, y'all. And you see, Pentecost, when I came into it, was more interested in you speaking in a tongue than it was anything else. They told me if I had to speak in tongues, I'd have power with God. Then I could cast out devils, do all these things. But what they didn't tell me was before there was a Pentecost, they were casting out devils. They were 70 went out from him. Even before they knew anything about Pentecost, anything else, they were healing the sick. Read it. You have. So we want to perpetuate past experiences. I had some good days, man. Haven't you? And you see, every day I had when I was there was the bestest. Y'all don't talk like that in Florida. Yeah. But see, in Arkansas, we had two words, the goodest and the bestest. Yeah. Are you ready to leave? Are you sure? The brother and I have a mutual friend. Had a mutual friend. H. Richard Hall. I've known him. I knew him for years and years. I've watched him and he was kind of a mentor to me in my early days. But I heard out of coming out of H. Richard. H. Richard knew things that he couldn't say. If he said them, he'd lose his crowd. Now, preacher, brethren, hear me. There'll be a moment of reckoning if you ever accept that mentality. You're afraid to say something, afraid of what people might say about you. I know I've been there. I preached for 40 years. I have no regrets of where I've ever been, of anything that God's ever worked in my life. But I always preached about him somewhere out there, not knowing that the him and the me become the I am. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? Let me ask you a question and just tell me. Do you really believe that God is your father? Come on here now. Do you really believe that you and the man called Jesus has the same position with Father? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe what he said in John 17? Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Give me back my glory that I had with you before I become here. You really believe that? Then do you believe that we have the same right to say, Father, when I finish the work that you give me to do, I want my glory back that I had with you before I come here. You need to get acquainted with that because that's your right. And that's your heritage. See, I'm just, somebody said, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm not a pilgrim. Heaven's God's sake. No, I'm not a pilgrim. And I'm not a beggar passing through the country trying to hang on to get somewhere. I now know who I am, I know where I come from, and I know why I'm here, and I know where I'm headed. Yeah. Let me say this, then I want to read some scripture, then we'll quit. How many know what the word bastard means? You see, we've always thought that a bad word, but it's in the scripture. Did you believe God called some people bastards? Now, babe, that's not a dirty word. It means you have a father, but you don't know who he is. You have a father, you just don't know who he is.
Go ahead. That's good, dog. That's good.
Woo! And here's what he said about that. If you will receive teachings or corrections by teaching, if you could put it in our modern day vernacular, he would say, I'll straighten you out, your thinking out by teaching if you'll receive it. And what he could have said, if you receive my teaching, I'm going to tell you who your father is. And I know what you're saying. Oh, I know who the father is. Why don't you act like it? And I'm not being funny. I'm just, you know. I remember what he said. He said, if you don't endure chastisement. He first said, if you do, I'll deal with you as a son. But if you don't, then you're bastards. That's hard saying. You mean I can speak in tongues and prophesy and he calls me a dirty name? Well, I mean, you can find your scripture if you'll look. That's what he said, wasn't it? But you see, the spirit of truth has come to guide me into all truth about who I am. And you see, when I know who I am, I know who Father is. Because him and I... Hello! Don't y'all love me now? I can't stop loving you. If y'all weren't here last night, y'all missed it. My Lord, I don't know. I haven't read Hebrews 13 yet. I'm waiting for you to read that before I start. Because if I everybody said out loud with me, let brotherly love continue, will you? Now let's personify it. I will let brotherly love continue, regardless of what you say. Thank you. You're in it. I'm always like this. So somebody asked my wife last night, I said, is he always that way? And she said, yep. But you see, if you come from where I come from, and maybe you did, if you come through all the teachings, I told you last night, I taught Bible schools, sat on boards, state superintendent of the state of Alabama for my organized religious thing I was in for 18 years. So what I share with you, it ain't just knowledge, it's experience. And I'll tell you this with all of my heart. I could care less if I ever, quote, preached again in my life. The life that's in me is what I want to give to you. And I have every right in the world to stand and make a declaration, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And somebody said, oh, that's blasphemous. No, it's not. I am Word made flesh. That first man, that first Word made flesh called Jesus, he and I have the same Father. He just got here before I did. And his mission wasn't my mission. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Not the whole world. It says, he shall save his people from their sins. Remember what he said? Then he said, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I wasn't sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I was sent to penetrate the minds and to help people to understand that you cannot be in Christ and have a carnal mind. Hello back there. Yeah. And we sooner we forget the carnal mind concept and come with a consciousness awareness that we are everything that God says we are. It's not what we're going to be. And brother, I loved your song a while ago. But again, change your words. I'm not trading. It's a done deal. And I just change your word. When you said I'm trading, change that. I have traded. Yes. See, it's not going to be a thing. It's a done deal. Yes. Let me tell you this. If it's not done now, when will it be? Is this okay? So So let's let it go. It is finished. It's over with. Paul made this statement to a bunch of tongue-talking people when he said, "Awake, thou that sleepest." And our dear brother yesterday brought a beautiful word on the word awake and the word resurrection. It's the same word. Wake up. You've been asleep. And Paul said, awake. And remember this, he was talking to a tongue-filled, tongue-talking church. Awake, thou that sleepest. Then he made a startling statement. He said, and arise from the dead. Watch it. Wake up. Rise from the dead. Then he made a bold statement. He said, and Christ shall give you light. Remember that statement. You ought to read it sometimes. Awake, thou that sleepest. So my mission, your mission, your purpose of being here is to have the consciousness that you are now the light of the world. And the light that you are has been sent here to invade the darkened understanding that religion has planted in people's minds and help people to understand they really are everything that God says they are. Yeah. Hear me now. If you're not now, when are you going to be? Answer yourself that question. Oh, ain't nobody perfect. I beg to differ with you. I beg to differ with you. Be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. And you mean you left Father's house imperfect? I'll remind you what really happened. You already know, but I stir up your mind. I don't know. I'm not certain when I left Father's house. You see, I'm not sure how many worlds I've been to before I got to this one. I'm being honest with you. How many knows he said there's worlds without end? Ages to come. How many worlds have you been to before you got here? And if I step out of this, I don't know what world I go show up next. But I'll tell you this, every world I go to, I will go as the light of that world. Can you hear this? Is this all right? Whatever world I go to, I will go as the light of that world. We are now the light of this world. We are now the city that Abraham looked for. But you see, that city is coming down. It ain't going up, it's coming down. And there's nothing wrong with it. She's already prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Quit trying to perfect something, there's nothing wrong with it. Here's what happened when you left Father's house. And I don't know who said this yesterday, but somebody said this, and man, it sent bells through me. Somebody said their child told their mom and daddy, I chose you to bring me into this world. Who said that? You really believe that? I do. I do. So when you left Father's house, my mama is Cherokee Indian. My papa was Choctaw with a little bit of French. And I have a Choctaw brother in Oklahoma. He says, oh, Ray, you bad dude. He's Choctaw. And he knows I got Cherokee in me. He said, oh, Ray, you a half breed. You a mixed up dude. He probably don't know how mixed up I really am. I mean. But my grandfather on my mother's side left the Cherokee reservations in Oklahoma and walked to Arkansas where he met my grandma. Now you tell me this is all just by chance? You better go on down the road. How in God's world? Cherokee, Choctaw, and French. Look at me. 145 pounds of Cherokee, Choctaw, and French. Is that what you really see? But you see, and the brother did a beautiful job last night on flesh and blood. You should have been here and heard that. But you see, when I was conceived by Papa and the natural, when I came through Mama's womb, the brainwashing immediately began. How many ever heard a baby talk? And you thought it was gibberish. You know what it was? They were still talking homeland language. And you've been gone so long, you couldn't understand what they were saying. So we immediately began to educate our kids to talk language that we could understand. I know where I'm at. So we began to teach them English. They did a poor job on me because I don't speak good English. My grammar is worse. This is reality. If you don't know who you are, you won't have a clue where you're going or why you're here. I'm going to tell you this. You didn't just come here to speak in tongues and jump and dance and shout hallelujah. You come here to be the life. Life. And you see, the word light is life. Understanding. Don't be afraid to plow through the carnal interpretation of religious teaching and declare you're the light of the world. You know, and I've seen this all across the nation. People are really afraid to stand up and say, I am that I am. You might lose your crowd, but I'll tell you what you're going to lose if you don't. God will let you get trapped in that religious system that you so blinded in, and let you leave here through a hole in the ground. But if you think that's in the ball game, you better think again. I've dealt with a lot of suicidal, more young people over the years. And finally, the Lord taught me something. I'd never try to get them not to commit suicide. If you're going to do it, you're not going to talk about it anyway. And I walked into a padded cell in St. Louis, Missouri, in a prison. 19-year-old kid. Bummed out on drugs. I'd never seen him before. I didn't carry my Bible to go preach him a sermon. And I heard what this man said last night, or yesterday. You need to quit trying to put religion in your people, in your kids' mind. Quit it. Stop it. Quit trying to make your kids to go to church to get religion. I was on the board of regents of Bible schools, and I can tell you unequivocally, I would never, 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 ever send another kid to a Bible school. Never. It don't matter what Bible school you send them, they're going to educate them in that religious platform and that doctrine. And once you plant that seed in their mind, the spirit of truth has got a problem then. I know, because I sent my second son, and I have repented and cried and prayed over that thing 100 times. But thank God, God had mercy. And when he graduated from Bible school, by then Dad began to see truth. And the older son, my older son, began to see truth. So he come to me and he said, Dad, I have one question to ask you. Tell me the truth. I said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, Dad, is the rapture theory true? And I looked at him unequivocally. I said, son, not so. Not the way Dad taught you. It's a lie. He said, thanks, Dad. From that day on, he had no question. And then he began to come into understanding of a lot of things. And I'm not bad-mouthing anything. If you want to do that, you do that. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of Truth has come. And if we'll let the Spirit of Truth do what He wants to do, then we won't put all that educational, religious education in their thinking. Then the Spirit of Truth can work with them a whole lot quicker. Walked into the prison, and the young man wouldn't look at me. Sitting back over in the corner. And I walked over to him, and I never said, "Son, I'm a preacher, I'm here to pray for you." And I knew that wasn't going to work. And I finally got him to raise his eyes and to look at me. And I don't have a clue what I said. I don't even know if I said anything. But all of a sudden, it looked like somebody flipped a switch on the inside of him, and his whole countenance just lit up. That quick. The drugs that had held him in captivity left him alone. Instantaneously. That Spirit of Truth, that's being the book, the living epistle that all men can know and read. Do you believe this? They won't want your religion. All religion is to get somebody to change their mind to believe what you believe. Maybe I'll come back here where I can look at you in the eyeball. That's how religion is. To change their mind, to convince them that you're right and they're wrong. I'm citizens of God. Oh, but I'm church of God. Oh, but you church of God, y'all wrong. We citizens of God are right. Or I'm Baptist. Oh, I'm Methodist, but you Baptists are wrong. I mean, it's a ball game. And we fall for it. How many more hours have I got to go to? Tell the truth, how many likes me now? I like me too. If I don't read scripture, you're going to think I'm not a preacher, so... I don't know what's wrong. You're not going to get me if you enjoy living, are you? I enjoy being who I am. I don't know. You can do what you want to. I can't help it. I'm going to enjoy being who I am. And I ain't Assemblies of God. I ain't Catholic. I ain't Jew. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a bishop. I'm not a prophet. I'm not even an elder, because some of you are older than I am. So I am that I am. And we really do need to let that sink into our being. I am that I am. If you hang around me long enough, I'll convince you. I was up in Tennessee a few years ago in a meeting. Young man, all excited about praise worship. He was good on a keyboard and good singer. So he came to the meeting to lead praise. I ain't figured out yet how we can do that, but Paul said, making melody in your heart. So he came to me, and all excited, he said, "Brother Ray, there's a conference going on in Florida somewhere, and I want to go to it." And I said, "What kind of conference, son?" He said, it's a praise and worship conference. They're going to teach us how to lead praise and worship. I said, "What? Teach you how to worship? Teach you how to lead worship?" You miss me. I'm not being funny here. I'm telling you, there's a truth. There's a stranger coming to our house, and sometimes I don't like him, but I welcome him. And you need the stranger Paul talked about in Hebrews 13 is not somebody clothed with sandals. It's a truth. It's a message that's coming to your heart to help you to understand some things. And I welcome in my house. I really do. Here's where I want to read and where I want to go, and we'll run out of time here. In the book of Haggai, however you want to say it, Haggai, here's what it said. Then it's in chapter 1, verse 13. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 13. Everybody there? Okay. Haggai chapter 1 verse 13. Then spoke Haggai. Now look how he says it. The Lord's messenger. You reading it with me? Then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message. Yeah, you'll get a hold of it. Then spoke the messenger in the message. The messenger and the message have become one and the same. Now don't throw a stone at me. As long as you preach about a historical Jesus, and it's all about him, you haven't become the message yet. You love me now? And you see, this thing now has come down to where there's a people, and it was said here yesterday, there's people now that has become. They have now come to the consciousness. And I'll say this in passing. Resurrection is not coming out of a hole in the ground somewhere someday. Resurrection is being raised out from among the death of the teachings and having our conscience purged from dead works, Paul said. Then he said you'd serve the living God. Remember it? And don't fight against the purging of your conscience. Let go some of your beliefs. We was in the family's home a couple of weeks ago. And it's so sad. They're so dogmatic in what they believe, but they're dying. Hear me now. They are so dogmatic. I mean, they tell you quick, this is what we believe and that's it. And I said, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you believe. Brother, I don't want your belief system. I want resurrection that's in you to raise me. See, that's pure, that's true resurrection. Now, there's another way to put it. It'll take resurrection to raise you out of the death of the letter. Hello? It'll take the spirit of truth to separate the letter that is death. How many know this Bible is death? Well, he said it was. The letter is death. The letter kills you. And it'll take the spirit of truth to raise your consciousness away from the letter and give you the life of it. Resurrection ain't a thing wrong, but just life. Hello? In ministry, I don't know how many dozens and probably hundreds of people I've walked to the tomb, to the graveyard, and declared that, oh, this body's going to raise again. How many ever heard that? How many ever said it? Don't answer. Listen to me. If you really think, you see, by the same token, I'd tell everybody that man or that brother is already in heaven. They're gone to be with Jesus. I know I'm meddling with your understanding. And I'm fooling around a whole lot with your thinking. That's what I'm here for. I want you to like me. But if you don't like me, you're not going to change the life that's in my heart. I'll give it to you every time you let me give it to you. And I don't care what you think or don't think. If you want the life that's here, you can have it. I'll give it to you. Don't cost you nothing. I've been a long time. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. And I know what that's all about too. I've been a long time getting to where I am now. And you, there ain't nothing. There's no doctrine. There's no teachings. There's no deacon. There's no bishop. There's no force in the world can rob me of the life of God that I know that I am right now. And I'm going to enjoy it, brother. I don't care if I'm here, if I'm on the John Deere tractor on Monday morning. I enjoy being who I am. You ever tell somebody, oh, brother so-and-so is gone to be with Jesus. And but at the same time, they said Jesus come in his heart. How can Jesus come into somebody's heart and then you go be with him? It's a bunch of stuff. Oh, Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. If you read that literally, that means you've got to get out of this body before you know anything about God. Y'all been there too. I can tell by looking at some of your faces you have. So they're going to be with Jesus. Oh, but there's going to be a day when old Gabriel is going to step out there somewhere and he's going to blow a trumpet. And that trumpet's going to sound so loud, it's going to wake all those dead folks that's in the grave. But wait a minute. The preacher told me they were in heaven. Preacher, didn't we tell them that? Tell me the truth now.
Yeah.
And yet we turn around, oh, there's going to be a trumpet sound someday. There ain't nobody there. And you mean to tell me that God's been going to be so mean to take you out of wherever you are, put you back in a hole in the ground, make you a ball of dust again, just so you can get up out of that ground? Stupidity. Ignorance in its basic form. See, we didn't know where heaven was to start with. We don't know where they went. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the message. I hope we, how many time minutes we got? The message and the messenger will never preach about a historical Jesus. It'll never be about him. You'll understand the him and the you are one and the same. How many believe he's your brother? And if you try to do the works that he did, you've been fooled. Because he said, Father, I finished the works you gave me to do. I'm not worried about what he did. I come here to do what Father sent me to do. Oh, I may heal a few people. I have. You have too. But that's not what you come for. You come as resurrection to raise the dead. To raise people up out of the tombs of the religious death system that they've been trapped in. And declare, now hear this. Draw your own conclusion. You have to stand and declare, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Some of you don't want to hear that. How many remember Peter getting in jail in the church praying for him? Remember that story? Old Peter's sound asleep. He didn't know, he didn't have a clue what was taking place. But there's an earthquake shook his house. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe you can sit in this assembly and hear what is said and stay asleep. Your house will shake. You'll go to bed at night and you can't sleep. I pray God that'll happen. You go to bed at night and you're disturbed. You get all shook up. You get mad. And you beat, you know, I don't believe what that man said. That man's a blasphemer. That man, I don't care. Just do that. Because when you do that, then you're on your way out. See, your first impulse is to get mad at me. I'll hug your neck and come home and stay a week with you if you get mad at me. So that ain't going to work either. Just get mad at me, because I know that's the beginning of the end. The little brother I told you about going to the praise and worship conference, he called me. He said, "Brother, can I come spend a couple of days with you?" I said, "Come on." And so he lived about 8-10 hours from where I live. He grabbed his notebook and his Bible, and here he come. He stayed one day and one night. He just thought he wanted to spend some time with me. And I've raised 3 sons, and I've got grandkids and great-grandkids, and I love kids. That's why I'd like to take him home. Of course, the other side of that story, I got a John Deere tractor I need him on, too. One more scripture. And you see, when I get to having fun, I don't want to quit. He didn't want to quit last night. And he shouldn't have. He should have sung one more song. Don't you think he should have? One more scripture. Go to Galatians. And I quit. You know by now that I don't want to, don't you? Here's what it says in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word. Now you'll have to remember there wasn't no Bible when this was said. So he ain't talking about this. And don't get me wrong, I love this, the scriptures. But see, I know what it is now. And it's up to me to open the alabaster box and bring the oil out. See, the spirit of truth is not in this. The spirit of truth is in me. Y'all believe that? There ain't no spirit in this. It's just a book. But the spirit of this is in me. And I'll open the book. Go to Revelation chapter 5 and watch them crying over who's going to open the book. This wasn't the book he was talking about. This didn't exist then. And they're weeping and crying, "Who's going to open the book?" They'd seen a book and it was sealed. I ain't going to go there. I won't ever quit. How many can believe that you're the book that's now being opened? Can you believe that? So the crying was, "Who's going to open the book?" They said, "Oh, quit crying. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book." Now look what it said. The Lion, the roaring, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Wonder why they said the tribe of Judah. That's where that first word called Jesus come from. That's who he was sent to. That's why he was prevailed. But it was the Lion that prevailed, the strength, the power. But read a bit further. The Lion didn't open it. The Lamb did. And if you think that's a physical lamb, of course that's not true. It literally says the power and the strength of the righteousness of God will open you up. That's what it literally says. Once you understand that you are the living epistle that's known and read by all men, and how many knows in Father's house there's many mansions? And how many knows the Spirit of Truth goes from mansion to mansion, from room to room, and every time he gets in there, when he leaves, it ain't like it was when he got there? That's why your understanding continually changes. You ought to wake up in a new world every morning. I do. Here's what he said. Let him that is taught in the word, and there's a big word, communicate. Unto him that teacheth. and all good things. The word communicate is a beautiful word. It literally says, let him that is taught become that which he is taught. Let the messenger become the message that he declares. You see, we've always had a separation. You preach one thing, but that wasn't what you was. But there's some people now that's walking to and fro through the earth that have become what they say they are. Y'all love me now? And it's not about religion. It's not about how many, people come to the gathering. Somebody asked me to come for a meeting, and they said, well, we don't have a big crowd. And I said, really? I could care less if it's just you and me. I didn't come for the crowd. I come for the life. And if the crowd shows up, I'll give you the life. And if you show up, I'll give you the life. See, the crowd don't concern me anymore. We're probably reaching more people. Some of these brethren are doing the same thing with CDs than we ever reach in our tents and our pulpits and everywhere else. Thank God for the internet. Thank God for the internet. And I know some people get my CDs, don't have a clue what I'm saying, and they probably trash them. But if they don't tell me to quit sending them, I'll send them another next month. Because you go face to face with reality long enough, somewhere you'll relent to it. So become he that teacheth. Now, and he that, let me say this in finality. How many knows who the teacher is? Tell me out loud. Spirit of truth will teach you. Will guide you. So what he literally said, when the Spirit of truth teaches you, communicate with him or become that which he teaches you. That's when the messenger and the message become one and the same. How many love the Lord with all your heart? How many loves you as much as you love the Lord? I mean,